Hey, it's the Dead Pit guys, am I right?
That's right, what's going on?
Yeah, it's the creepy Kentuckian.
And Uncle Bill.
How you doing, guys?
I'm just lovely.
We're doing good. We're just chilling here in the east side of Kentucky.
We have to let the fans know that this is like, the second time we've tried to do this damn thing?
Yeah.
So this is kind of rehash for us, but this will be new for everybody else because nobody else ever heard that other crap that I tried to record. So we're in good shape.
Yeah, hopefully everything will go smoothly.
Excellent. All right, well, it's all about Dead Pit, guys. I got to tell you, I'm a huge fan, although I am a new fan. I'd known about you guys for a while, but for whatever reason, had not bothered to download a show. But here about 3 weeks ago, I put it on, and now I'm listening to you guys. I'm listening to two episodes a night. I'm addicted, man. I'm trying to get caught up, you know?
So you're going through the back catalog of Dead Pit shows?
Going through the back catalog, which is important for all you fans to know. Every show you guys have done from day one, it's on there, right?
Yeah, the good, the bad, and the ugly, I guess.
Yeah, from the very first show, which was like December 2005 on, we've got them all up there for the time being. I don't know how much space we have left, but we're going to keep going until it runs out. So
that sounds great. Well, I've been enjoying them, so that can serve as a something to get the fans moving and get over there quick and download those damn episodes.
Yeah, I think that it's pretty much a big contrast between where you have to pay for certain like other shows that are on satellite, or you have to, you know, all our stuff is free, and plus we've got a huge back catalog of stuff. I mean, you could literally sit around and probably listen to stuff for days, and you never hear, like, all the shows.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure probably weeks by now. Yeah. I mean,
and then some of your guys' shows are like marathons, man. I mean, they're like 2.5-3 hours long.
Yeah, we're trying to fucking torture ourselves and the audience as much as possible. Yeah.
Well, okay. The thing is about, like, our interviews sometimes, you know, half an hour to an hour long, and that takes up the majority of the show. And then, you know, we take phone calls for as long as people call in, usually. I mean, unless it's past an hour, then we just give up, you know.
Yeah.
Well, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. The first thing I want to talk about is the whole genesis of the radio show, how it came to be. How did you guys, two guys from rural Kentucky, end up being the voice of horror? How did this happen?
Well, it's probably around Halloween 2005 is when I think we came up with the idea, because I'm a big fan of internet radio and listen to a lot of different shows, and I was talking to him, I was like, I've never, you know, heard of a horror radio show that talks about horror movies. And we were both looking around for months trying to find one on the internet, and actually tried to talk another guy into doing it, because I didn't know how our voices would work, you know, because we'd have a little bit of an accent.
Yeah, as it turns out, though, that's the only thing that really distinguishes us from, like, because there's, I'd say, dozens of shows like this now, but when we first started, there was nothing that we could find like, you know, what we're doing. But as it turns out, that's probably the best thing we could do, is do it ourselves, because nobody else has I hate to use the word gimmick, but has a gimmick like this.
Yeah,
not really
a
gimmick, it's just happens to be how we
it's just the way you talk, huh?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
A lot of the other ones that are out there, I really qualify more as podcasts. I mean, you guys are a full-fledged show. You guys do skits, you have the whole thing. I mean, it's got production value to it.
Well, we appreciate that.
Which a lot of the other stuff, like I said, I would just, you know, I mean, I envision people, you know, sitting in their basement.
Yeah, most of it is, we try not to, what's the expression, rest on our laurels. Most of the other stuff is just a guy or maybe two guys that just talk constantly through a program. Like
for
a
an
podcast.
Hour or something,
yeah.
For an hour straight.
And, yeah, we do try to throw in stuff. And we'll try to throw in, like, really weird songs that relate to horror films or skits that we do on video for YouTube and stuff.
Sometimes we do spoof interviews, you know.
Right, just anything to amuse ourselves, and hopefully it amuses other people.
You guys had me crying with your YouTube thing with going to see Rob Zombie's Halloween. You drive all the way there, and it was sold out. Oh my God, that was so funny.
Yeah, that's like reality TV, but
it was great.
Scripted.
that was great stuff. It really was.
That was seriously the first time we've ever been up to that theater and it sold out. We were turned away. So.
I wish to Christ we'd just gone home now.
we'll get to Rob Zombie's Halloween here in a little bit later. I really want to focus more on the whole Dead Pit experience. So you said you started this in December of 2005.
Yeah, and we really didn't have a format at all then. I think the first show, we were just more like a year in review of all the horror films that came out in 2005. And it was more like an hour long of us just completely, like, bitching pretty much, I guess.
I think a lot of people believe that the show is based on some other, you know, horror radio show or something like that, but I think it's probably primarily based around wrestling shows, like internet wrestling shows, because that was like a huge thing that CK over here used to listen to all the time, was all these different internet radio wrestling shows.
Yeah,
and I think that's probably where it came from more than anything else. Some people think it's based on the movie Dead Pit or The Dead Pit.
Oh, the name?
Yeah, but that's not it either.
Yeah, the weird thing about the name was I was just up one night trying to think of something that was just a simple .com that people would remember, you know. And it was just after hours and hours of searching for something cool that was available, Dead Pit was just something I typed in and it was available. It wasn't, there's not really a cool story to it or anything.
It just popped into your head, huh? There it was.
Yeah.
Like most great things.
Yeah,
Divine intervention.
Yeah,
what the hell was it before? Oh, shit, I forgot. I think at one time, it was either, he wanted to call it, which this would have been a pretty cool title, too, but maybe this was for the newsletter.
No, we were doing a newsletter before trying to come up with a name.
But you came up with Bloodbaths and Beyond.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been pretty cool, too.
That's actually pretty funny.
I like
it.
But I think the guy from the newsletter was scared he was going to get sued or something.
Yeah, well, I can see. Yeah, they might have a little bit of a problem with that.
Yeah.
Dead Pit works good. Dead Pit's real easy to remember, like you said. It's a catchy one. So the show's kind of, over the course of the last couple years, really kind of now grown into a major force in the horror world. I mean, you guys here just the last couple of weeks have had the interviews with John Carpenter. And going through your backlog of interviews, you've had Savini and you've had Robert Kurtzman, and I mean, you had some big names on your show. How did that all get? Your first big, what was your first big interview? Your first one where you were going to do it and you went, holy shit, we're interviewing blah, blah.
The first big one. I don't know. I mean,
I can tell you which one I think it was.
Go ahead.
It was probably Joe Dante.
Yeah.
Where that was like, what was that, a third or fourth interview or something like that? And, just a huge fan of his films, The Howling and Gremlins and all that stuff. And we just, that was one of those things where we didn't know what the hell we were doing, so we just cold called his office and just fucking were like, you know, we're a radio show and we just got started wondering if we could interview Joe Dante. And amazingly, that worked. And so,
yeah.
Anybody him, ever questioned you? Anybody ever want to hear the show?
Robert Kurtzman was, I think he still listens to the show from time to time. He told us, he was the first guy that told us he actually listened to some of our shows before he did the interview, and we were really surprised by that, and I don't know, he was giving us some advice and said he liked the show, and I just thought that was pretty cool.
Bob's a really nice guy.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said Bob's a really nice guy. He actually lives very close to me. And he's just a real nice, he's a class act all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, the guy actually invited us up to his Precinct 13 studios and all that stuff. And, yeah, it's just pretty amazing.
You got to do it. You guys aren't that far away. You got to make a trip.
No, we're
probably about 5-6 hours.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
So, yeah.
You got to make the trip, man. It's a great place. I've been lucky enough to be over there twice, and trust me, it's worth the drive.
Cool.
You'd like it.
Yeah, if we ever go to a cinema wasteland or something, we may, see if we can pay him a visit then, too.
Yeah, that's right. That's coming up, too, Cinema Wasteland. You guys should be there pimping your wares, man.
Oh, we're going to have some of the Pit of Maniacs with some Dead Pit flyers. We always, like, we try our best to get flyers at every convention, at least.
Yeah, that's another thing, too, that anybody that requests flyers, we'll send them to you if you just give us an address.
So,
you go to any of these conventions or anything.
Yeah, we like spreading the propaganda.
Spread the pit. Somehow that doesn't sound right, but I don't know.
Yeah.
So what's the future holding for Dead Pit? Where are you guys looking to take this? Do you have a game plan? I mean, I would love to see you guys like on a. I mean, the internet's great, but any chance you might ever do the show live or do it like on a broadcast medium?
There's always a chance. I mean, we'll never say never. I mean, I would love to do the show on XM or Sirius or something like that.
From what I understand, though, it's either XM or Sirius are getting ready to do away with a lot of their older programs, and they're not picking up any new programs and all this stuff.
Yeah, I think Sirius is actually buying XM. They're going to swallow up into one company is what they're doing.
Yeah, I've heard about that for a while. I don't know if they were...
Yeah, it's one of those things where the government's trying to say it would be a monopoly or whatever, and they're kind of fighting them on it a little bit. But it looks like it's going to go through. So,
I mean, I would eventually love to do something like that if we could still do the show exactly like we do it now. If somebody was like telling us what we were supposed to be, who we were supposed to be interviewing and what we could do, I wouldn't want to do that at all. I think that'd just be completely dishonest.
Well, this seems, what you do now seems to really monopolize a lot of time. I mean, you got your show on your website, and then you also have a MySpace page, which you seem to update pretty frequently.
Yeah, every week we have, here's another thing we never talked about, but it's like, all that show is, it's on MySpace. You can go to it by, I think it's, / Dead Pit Radio?
Or, yeah, MySpace.com/ Dead Pit Radio.
But all that is like, it's a bastard abortion child of, the show where all we do is just bitch about stuff that has been pissing us off during the course of the week that we wouldn't want to normally include on the show because it would take up way too much time. So that's like, if you want to hear, us just slamming movies and directors and people that are making us mad, that would be the place to go.
So you're pretty much talking about Rob Zombie all the time these days, is what you're telling me.
We did. a whole show talking about it.
Yeah. But the MySpace thing, too, we also let the people know what movies you're going to be talking about that coming week and, what the fans can call in and talk about on the call-in portion.
So you can kind of get an update, if you will, or an idea of what the upcoming week's going to bring.
Yeah, it's sort of like a pre-show.
Yeah,
TV guide for us.
Yeah. And then you also got the horror channel. The I think you're calling it the Dead Pit Pit Stop. Is that what the?
Yeah, that's what it's called. I'm not sure exactly how we got associated with them. I mean, it's been well over a year now. We've been sort of working with them. They sent us a webcam and just told us to review the films the way we want to review them and didn't tell us any specifics, we have to give this a positive review. We can say pretty much what we want to on there. And anybody that goes and checks out that channel will realize that. Shit on stuff just like we shit on it on the show.
Yeah, I think you mentioned before, too, that they, at one time the horror channel lost a whole lot of talent that they had that was just a part of a bunch of different other, horror websites. And I think that somebody from that company, or maybe it was a lead or something like that, had actually heard of our show and just kind of sent us over a proposal to start doing that on there, I guess, to try to get some new blood in and maybe spice things up a little bit. So
yeah, it kind of gives you a reason to go back to the site. When they dropped the Dread Central, what is now Dread Central, when they dropped all those guys, it kind of lost its personality, it lost its face, and you guys have kind of put that back on there again. It gives me and other fans a reason to go there once a week and see what the heck's going on.
Yeah, and, as far as the Dread Central guys, I know there's a lot of bad blood between the horror channel and all that stuff, but, I mean, as far as I know, we don't have a problem with them or anything. We try to be as friendly as possible with everybody aside from, Fangoria up there, so.
Yeah, and that just gives us an excuse to do, really, really friggin' stupid skits and shit and have them, watched by people, so that's all we really needed.
And again, you got to remember, I'm kind of a new fan. I mean, I've been following you guys for a little bit now, trying to catch up. But at the end of the show, there's always some singing of a song or something. For a while, it was "Don't Stop Believing" on a couple of the ones I was listening to. What was that all? What's that all about? Is it just you guys having a good time, or?
Well, we're a big fan of 80s music of any sort, really, and we play music from time to time, and just try to think of some of the funniest stuff that we could sing and use the falsetto vocals with. And "Don't Stop Believing" is a perfect song.
Oh, yeah, that one works real good, man. It cracks me up every time I hear you guys singing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were thinking, because we can't really sing like people like Dio and, Steve Perry and all that. So we're thinking, what can we do to kind of, imitate that? And just came up with these really absurd, falsetto voices that we use for almost everything. I mean, there's probably about 10 songs we've done now that have that.
Every song that we do. We've got a song, the cover song for the Guns N' Roses, "Don't You Cry Tonight," that's on there, which was dedicated to Eli Roth.
When Hostile 2 bombed.
Yeah, when Hostile 2 bombed the box office, we dedicated that song to him, and that seems to be one of the favorites on there. I think you can check it out on the main page of the website. So
I noticed you like to, you guys put a lot of stuff to the Final Countdown song, too. What was that, Europe? Was that the name of the band that did that song? Every time I'm listening to it, always somebody going, it's the final something or other, you know, whatever.
Okay.
Oh, it just kills me. I love it.
We're children.
Oh, the final chapter. Yeah,
the final chapter.
Yeah, we would talk about Friday 13th Part 4. That's what we did.
That's so good. But the Horror Channel thing, I mean, if they would ever actually get off the ground and actually become a channel, I mean, maybe you guys could end up with your own, like, midnight movie thing or something, you know?
I think that's kind of what we've been, what they are trying to do and what we've been waiting on. It's just a matter of, I guess they have to get backing and figure out exactly what they're going to be doing with that channel, because right now, it's just us.
We really don't know what's going on with the channel aside from what we're doing. I mean, I don't think there's anything else. I know that some of Patrick Ray's stuff is on there, and Kendall Sands stuff, and there's like music videos on there, and it's
And they just signed up with this company called Joost, J-O-O-S-T,
right?
And it's kind of like a broadcast internet channel, I guess. And it's pretty good, but I mean, you know, they haven't updated content, and it's been a couple months now, and it's still the same crap on there, and you know, which is fine. It's good crap, but you know, it's still, you know, you don't, after a while, you just quit going back to look because it's always the same.
Yeah, that's always been the problem since we've been there, that they don't really update regularly. And I think we're one of the only things, like I said, that is on there with any consistency, too.
Yeah, but I know that they've, you know, as far as the people we work with there, I don't know if they've got a bad reputation or what, but, I mean, we really haven't had a problem with any of them. They've all been really cool with us. And
that's good. That's good. I really don't think they're bad guys. I was able to talk to most of them at different events and stuff, and they seem like real nice guys. Like you said, I think there was just some bad blood, and, you know, things get said, and, you know, that one bad thing about the Internet, man, is, you know, a rumor can spread very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And, you know, but that's good. I'm glad to see you guys associated with them, and, again, it's just another outlet where I just seem to... You guys just seem to pop up, you know. There you are, Uncle Bill and the Crazy Kentuckian.
I'll tell you something funnier than hell, though, that just recently started happening. Is we started getting, like, emails from people that are commenting on the videos that we put up. And I don't know if they just hadn't been sending them to us for other ones or if these are the first that we've ever gotten. But for the Halloween review that we put up, they started sending us, like, where people would actually just comment on their website. They'd send it to us for us to look at. And that was some of the funny shit that some guy was like,
he accused us of like reviewing the work print instead of going to the theater, and yeah, I was like, man, trust me, we went to the theater and we saw the theatrical version, and it's definitely not any better. So
it made some green, though, man. I'll tell you what, it you know, it managed to rake in some money, which I don't know what that means, but you know, whatever it is, they made a buck off of it, so.
Yeah, it definitely was. I think it was the highest grossing horror film this year.
That seems to be the only argument anybody has for the actual content of the film, is that it has to be good because it made a lot of money.
I reviewed it on the site, and my review was a little more favorable than yours. I didn't shit all over it. It was hard to find anything redeeming about it, but I found a couple items that I felt were at least worthy of mention, that they needed to be pointed out. And, you know, but, you know, when push comes to shove, you know, it all comes down to the writing. It's all story, and that movie just didn't have one. You know, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And
yeah,
I think time will run its course on that one. I mean, the fans are going to tire of it quickly. It's never going to be a classic like Carpenter's.
Yeah, I think the part that was okay to me was the opening, like, half. I mean, it was more like a Rob Zombie movie, and then when he actually tried to remake Carpenter's movies, when it really, I just thought it really fell apart then, you know.
Didn't it creep you out, though, seeing the little Michael Myers with the fucking real Michael Myers head on walking around?
No, it made
that was creeping my ass out, man.
I just thought it looked fucking...
I thought the Michael Myers mask that he wore was really cool, though, before it, like, I don't know, somebody wiped their ass with or shit on it or something.
Hey, yeah, before it got buried in that subterranean hole or whatever.
I thought it at least looked like the original Michael Myers mask.
But for some, I don't know. I guess another big problem with it was for somebody that talked so much shit for so long about the sequels to Halloween, the original sequels, and then for him to put out a movie like that where, you know, I don't understand it, because that movie was completely just a clusterfuck of a film. It was like... two different films in one, the first half and the second half, and it didn't really have any kind of it didn't coalesce at all.
Well, right. I know a few people say that it's scarier to know that Michael Myers is, you know, a Jeffrey Dahmer or, you know, a serial killer type or something, To me, it's not. I mean, I'd rather just not know anything about the killer. He's just a figure looming in the background.
Yeah, that's what made him so damn scary for me too. Is you just didn't know what the hell was up. You know, I mean, what,
right.
You know,
in fact, Texas Chainsaw Massacre did the same thing with the prequel and stuff like that, and it didn't work. So I didn't figure that one would work either.
Right. Well, you know what's going to happen though, since this made some green, we're going to see freaking remakes of everything, man.
Yeah, I think
Friday 13th will be next.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. It probably will be. I'm sorry, we've gotten off the thing of what we're here to talk about, which is do your thing. You got to do your thing, the Dead Pit.
Deadpit.com.
There you go. I thought you'd pick up on the cue, but you just didn't do it, man.
Yeah. We're a little drunk.
We're from Kentucky, man.
So we're drunk on moonshine. So what's this week's show holding in store for us all?
Well, fans of exploitation films could get a big kick out of this because I'm not sure how familiar you are with films such as Schoolgirls in Chains.
Oh, yes.
And The Love Butcher.
Love Butcher.
And the 80s slasher in the woods film, The Forest. But we have Don Jones, the director of all those films, on the show. It's like a rare interview. He only does...
Now, how in the world did you manage to get him?
It wasn't easy because, from what I understand, that guy fucking hates doing interviews.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's amazing. That really, truly is amazing. I mean, that's like equivalent of like getting, you know, back in the 30s or 40s, getting an interview with Howard Hughes. You know, the guy never talked to anybody.
Right.
And here,
I think from what I understand, it was our good buddies over at Code Red
hooked us up, yeah.
And they had to basically beg him to do an interview because he hates to do them so much. But I think that they released The Forest, and they're trying to release Schoolgirls in Chains soon, so I think it was a pretty big deal for them.
Yeah, we definitely, whenever Schoolgirls in Chains is officially released, we're going to push the hell out of it because it's a really, really good and interesting exploitation film that a lot of people haven't seen, I know. So.
Well, it sounds like this week, just like always, man, it's another interesting kick-ass on-the-fringe type of show, you know? Stuff you're not going to hear on Fangoria Radio.
Well, no, I'm sure they don't have any idea who the hell Don Jones is. They probably think it's like their accountant or something.
Don Jones, wasn't that the guy in the original Night of the Living Dead? No, that's not right.
Exactly.
All right, well, you know what? I cannot stress enough to anybody who's listening to this right now, you've got to head to deadpit.com.
Yeah.
And you guys, now the shows, this is a little confusing. The shows are actually taped on Thursdays, so you call in on Thursdays.
Yeah, you call in on Thursdays at 8 p.m., 1-606-658-0185, and we have topics, but it's always an open topic. You can always talk about what the hell you want to, but yeah, there is a topic usually every week, and we let the people know what it is on the message board or on the MySpace show, so.
All right, and then so then you would call in, and you record this then on Thursday night, and then you put the show together, and you post it sometime during the day on Friday.
Yeah.
Usually right after 1 o'clock on Friday.
Around 1 o'clock we try to get it up on Friday.
Okay, so. And you can listen to it through a standalone player on the site, or you can download it, which is what I do, is an MP3 and stick it on your iPod or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. And check it out that way.
On the road with you.
Yeah, that's what I do. And actually, you know, I just found out I bought a new receiver. I can actually put you over my big surround sound stereo in my basement. I can plug you right into it, man.
It's an experience to hear us in my style.
I'm telling you, it's especially creepy Kentucky in there with that booming bass voice there. About knock you out of your damn chair.
Yeah.
So,
hey, something else though. There's a couple things we need to mention though. The Rue Morgue interview that we did, Rue Morgue magazine, October issue. The Dead Pit interview is going to be in there.
That's fantastic. Really amazing.
We actually got hooked up with them because there's a guy, Stuart Andrews, Feedback. Who he actually called in on the show last week.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember the handle. He was on last week. You were talking to him.
Yeah, and he was the guy that actually, he introduced for Rue Morgue Radio, and I think that's over there, Rue Morgue Radio. I don't know if it's still up or not. I don't know how they do that, their library or anything. But, yeah, he got us hooked up with the actual magazine. And I was pretty amazed that we got to do a real interview that's going to be featured in there.
That's amazing. That's going to reach a ton of fans.
Yeah, and it's cool that it's in the October issue since, you know, Halloween and everything, and everybody seems like more people will buy it then. So
great. Well, we'll make sure make sure to pick that one up. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
What else you got? What else is on the horizon?
Well, we've actually got, and this is fucking another thing. It's hard for us to believe, but we've got a documentary. I'm not kidding. A documentary coming out by the guys over at Rusty Robot Productions. that is called Into the Pit, which is a documentary about our show and the people that listen to our show and the people that we interviewed. And just, I think it also has to do with horror movies in general.
That's right. As a matter of fact, I think on one of the shows I just listened to recently, you guys were saying that you had, like, cameras around and shit, and it was kind of freaking you out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they really did follow us around for a whole week, and then they followed us around for another weekend when we went up to do the Friday Night Film Fest in Louisville, and they were constantly there, and whenever we would talk to, you know, any of the fans of the show at the Friday Night, they would be there to record it, and they did interviews with some of the celebrities that we actually interviewed and people that know us, and while they were here, you actually get to see what goes on behind the scenes of, you know, our just everyday lives and stuff, which I can't imagine that would be that incredibly interesting. But
yeah, you get to see, like, we recorded one whole show with the cameras in there, Dead Pit Show, and just took them around to, like, a local flea market here, which is a big thing here in Eastern Kentucky. This outside flea market, every Saturday there's, like, thousands of people that come by, and they film that and just, you know, interviewed us for hours. So I'm not sure when the documentary is coming out, but they're still working on it, and we're probably going to be filming some more stuff soon. So
it's called Into the Pit? Is that what you said it was?
Yeah, I guess that's the tentative title right now.
Sounds great. Well, it's got to be kind of surreal, because I know from talking to you in our first interview that no man will ever hear, that like you said, that you know, you're just a couple guys, you're a couple working guys, you both work regular jobs during the day, right?
Right.
I believe, Creepy, you said you worked in a coal mine or something?
Yeah, I'm the Eastern Kentucky coal miner.
And Uncle Bill, what did you say you did? I don't remember. I apologize.
That's okay. I'm a custodian.
A custodian. So a couple of working guys, just like the rest of us. And,
exactly.
You know, it couldn't happen to a couple of nicer guys. It really couldn't. I would love to see you guys be able to parlay this into a full-time gig.
Yeah,
definitely...
I mean, I'd love to see us get rich off doing this, but then again, I'd love to just get a George Romero interview out of it, and then I'll just go out and step in front of traffic.
Hey, did you hear, by the way, I don't know if you haven't heard yet or not, but Weinstein's picked up Diary of the Dead.
Yeah, I just recently heard about that. It's actually on our message board. Somebody posted that.
Yeah, I posted...
a lot of money, though. Was it?
$2.5 million.
Yeah, $2.5 million they picked up North American distribution for, so...
And I actually read the review, not that I ever liked fucking... promote this site, but over at Fangoria, they were one of the few places that had a review up for the movie, and they said it was, like, one of the most important horror films of the past decade or something like that.
Yeah, I read that. I think Ain't a Cool News had one posted up, too, and said something similar.
Yeah.
Savini told me a while ago, you know, I hang with Savini quite a bit, and he'd seen it, oh, Christ, months ago, and he said that this is really something unbelievably amazing. You know, he obviously had seen it in a very early stage, but... I can't wait to see it. I was not at all thrilled with Land of the Dead, and I was very disappointed by it. So it would be wonderful to see him come back to the form that we all remember him as.
Yeah, hopefully it'll get a wide distribution theater, you know.
I would hope so. I would hope so. I mean, we'll be in with Weinstein's, you know, with Dimension or whatever. I would think they'd give it a wide release. I would hope so.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to wait and see.
The guy, to me, I don't know. I mean, I didn't really like Land of the Dead either, but to me, Romero could really do no wrong with... I just love the guy as a director.
Bruiser.
Okay. Maybe not. But still, it's better than half the shit comes out today, I'll tell you.
Yeah, this is very true. Any films you guys are excited about coming out? Anything on your guys' radar?
I'd really like to fucking see Hatchet, but we probably won't get to see it because I don't think it's going to get a wide...
Yeah, and plus, if we actually download it, we'd be officially an evil fuck, according to Adam Green.
Yeah.
Why don't Adam just send you one, man? I don't understand why you just don't send one out. Some of these other sites got to see Advanced. I'm in the same boat as you guys. I'm, you know, one of the larger horror sites on the web as you are. You guys, we should be having copies of this thing to look at it.
I know.
I don't get it.
Tell Adam Green.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir. I mean,
we just ain't stroking the right dick or something, I guess. I don't know what the hell's going on.
I guess. I know he's buddies with the Blood Disgusting and the Dread Central guys, and they all got copies of it.
Yeah, I know. I know they'd seen them because I'd read the reviews there. But I guess it's from what I'm hearing, coming out on DVD here, actually not that long. I mean, they're doing this short theatrical thing, and then is it before Halloween? It's supposed to be out, maybe even.
Yeah.
So
I don't understand why they do the theatrical thing if it's only, you know, and they market the hell out of it, you know. We had ads on their site, which means they spend a lot of money on marketing, but it's only available in, like, 50 theaters.
Yeah, it's just not available. I'm close to the Cleveland area, which is, you know, a relative. And the same with Pittsburgh. I'm close to Cleveland and Pittsburgh. I don't think it played in either market that I'm aware of. So, you know, if you weren't in Chicago or New York or Los Angeles, or, you know, you're just pretty much screwed.
But yeah, I mean, I hear it's really good. We want.
Yeah, I've heard the same. I've heard the same thing, that it's just phenomenal. So I'm hoping it lives up to its hype.
I'll tell you too. I'm not looking forward to though. It's Saw 4 and the Invasion.
The Invasion's already out.
The Invasion's. I was gonna say the Invasion's been out. It's.
Oh shit! I had no idea.
Yeah, it's been out. And of course, there's the Will Smith thing of I Am Legend, right?
I Am Legend.
Yeah. So that's another one. The you know, big budget one that.
In 30 Days of Night is one that's.
That actually looks pretty good.
Yeah.
They showed the trailer of that before Halloween, and that actually looked pretty kick ass. So
yeah, I'm sure we'll be seeing all these.
Oh yeah, I'm sure, absolutely. But okay, so. On the page where this interview is going to be posted, we're going to make sure to have links to the Dead Pit Pit Stop. We'll have links to the MySpace page. We'll have links to your regular homepage. Anything else? What else? What else can we talk about?
I don't know. You have anything else?
Well, the important information got out, which is if you're a horror fan, you best damn well be listening to Dead Pit. That's pretty much what
don't
it comes
let,
down to.
And don't let the, see. There's people out there that. Turn the fucking thing off as soon as I hear us talk. But you will get used to our voices.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Actually, it ends up being the best part. And I think I said this the last time we talked, but I love it when you start talking about Tater Sack Jason.
Yeah.
It don't get any better than that.
Yeah.
That is horror nirvana right there.
Tater Sack Jason is the one character that's been ripped off more than any other in all these slasher movies. I can't really name all the movies that we've seen that have had a Tater Sack killer in it. After Tater Sack Jason.
I'm pretty sure that's just because the films didn't have a budget. And they got a pillowcase or a tater sack on somebody's head.
Yeah.
They couldn't afford any prosthetics, and they couldn't afford any type of mask, so just stick a tater sack on his head.
Exactly.
He's good
that's
to go.
A creepy, too. Amy Steele even said so.
Yeah.
The tater sack is more creepy than the hockey mask.
Yeah, it may well be.
I'm always curious to hear about new horror films that are coming out that I might not know about. Do you have any suggestions or any... thing that you're looking forward to?
You know, it's all pretty much the same stuff that you're getting. I mean, we pretty much run in the same circle, you know. So nothing really too much. I was able to head over to the set of this movie called The Dead Matter that the guy from Midnight Syndicate is directing. And it actually looks to be, it had much higher production values than I anticipated. I actually just got an email today saying they just wrapped production on it. So that we'll have to wait and see what that turns out to be. Have you seen The Rage yet, Kurtzman's The Rage?
Yeah, we saw that.
I mean, other than those kind of goofy CGI buzzard things.
Yeah, I think the CGI sort of destroyed it, you know.
But his practical effects are top-notch.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they don't
We were talking about that, though, with the CG and stuff. I just don't understand the need for that.
Well, there were some shots where that absolutely wasn't needed. Like, I remember there's a shot in the van where they were doing like a blue screen outside the van and stuff.
I mean, it's almost like doing it just because you have the technology to do it. You know, it's like it doesn't really make sense. And the thing is, we were just over there to his studio here a few weeks ago, and he's got these beautiful life-size vultures, like animatronic-looking things. Why they wouldn't just use that? I mean, they're absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, he never used those in the film, did he? Because I think
Not that I noticed. If he did, I didn't catch it. You know, because the CGI stuff just really kind of stands out like a sore thumb. It really does. But other than that, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the story behind it, and it would have been really an awesome film if the CG didn't ruin it, you know.
Yeah, well, maybe once it gets sold, maybe they'll be able to doctor that up a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I think I was telling him via email. That, you know, I actually asked him if it was the finished film, and I think he was a little insulted by that.
And then, of course, that whole Horror Chronicles series is coming out again. I mean, it kind of sounds like I'm stuck on a Robert Kurtzman kick here, but that Buried Alive that he's got coming out looks good. And actually, that whole Horror Chronicles thing from Dark Lot Entertainment looks...
I got to say, as far as, like, DVDs go, this is probably the best time I can ever think of to be a horror fan, because everything in the friggin' world's coming out right at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, we got, I think, The Burning... just recently came out on DVD, and From Beyond, and then they...
New Return of Living Dead.
Yeah, and the new Return of Living Dead.
Scarecrow.
New Cujo 20th Anniversary Edition coming out. They released an Alligator on DVD.
Yeah.
It's like everything you can even remember.
Boxed in all kinds of box sets, like Vincent Price box set, The Fly Collection.
Yeah.
Roger Corman box.
Yeah, I just got all that stuff yesterday, actually, all those box sets. So looking forward to seeing them all. It's great stuff. I mean, it's, like you said, it's a great time to be a horror fan.
Definitely.
But as far as any new projects out there in the horizon, really nothing I'm aware of. But you got my word. If I hear of anything, I'll shoot it your way.
I was just thinking of one that was pretty funny looking, at least. Have you seen the press releases and stuff for Black Devil Ball?
Oh, yeah. he's a lover. He's a killer. He's a motherfucking puppet.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get one of those posters.
Yeah, Sean said they're going to be selling them for like $10. So, because I asked him the same thing, if we, you know, that's got to be let loose on the public.
Definitely.
Too funny, but yeah, I'd actually forgotten about that one. That one should be a keeper for sure.
Yeah.
And Sean, I don't know if you've ever had any dealings with Sean from Rotten Cotton, but he's yeah, he's not afraid to step on toes. We'll leave it there.
It's pretty obvious. Yeah. His whole section about fans at conventions and shit.
Yeah. And if you ever cross him, man, like if you ever not send him a check or something, you know, if you owe him money, man, he posts you up on the website and rants and raves about you. So good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, I really appreciate all the effort we had to go to get this interview done. I greatly appreciate it. Huge fan. I'll be listening every week. And I'll try to get some other people over there downloading your show, man.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate it, and it was good talking to you again.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that you contacted us and we got to do this and that it actually worked out the second time.
Hopefully it worked out. I don't know.
We'll find out. Hang on a second. I'm going to, for the fans listening to this, I'm going to turn the recorder off, and these guys, we're going to talk a little bit more. So come on, guys. Give me your sign-off.
Check myself and Uncle Bill out over at deadpit.com.